One of my friend's neighbors always gives her weed, mm-hmm. and he gave her this joint. It's pretty like chill weed, you know, mm-hmm. like it's not dispensary caliber weed. Mm-hmm. And he was like, be careful with this one, man. Like, this is a really strong one. And, but there's no filter. Mm-hmm. And so I had to add a filter after the fact. It also wasn't very strong, which right. again, I'm used to like THC that's like at 40%.
Did he grow it?
No, I don't think he grows it himself.
Because I'm kind of wondering, where do you get non-dispensary level weed at this point?
I'm sure he has a friend. I mean, he's from like LA, so he's probably got a guy.
Oh, right. Like who grows and he's
his homie in like East LA or something.
Probably just gives him like free bud or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. 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 I would smoke worse weed if it was free.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm also like a bougie bitch.
And no, I totally would smoke weed if it were free.
Like you would smoke worse weed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Because for me, it's about just like smoking.
You've described it as the oral fixation.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I told my psychoanalytic teacher.
How was school this last week? We got really positive feedback about your survey last week. And I did say I want to dedicate some time to helping you with your homework every week. So how'd the survey go? How's everything been going?
That problematic ass survey came back to me.
Was the survey problematic or were your responses problematic?
Fair. My responses were very problematic. And it was worth 40 points.
Out of how many? 100?
No. It's like the 40 points is the 100.
Oh, okay.
It's on a scale of 1 to 40.
It's out of 40. Gotcha.
It's out of 40.
Yeah.
I got a 37.
Oh, great.
I know. She was like totally down for my hot takes. Or not totally, but.
Dare I ask, how do you lose points on a reflective survey?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Is 37 maybe not that good?
I don't know. I don't have a rapport yet with my classmates where we could compare grades.
Okay.
And maybe that's part of graduate programs.
Is It'll like, happen. No, there'll be grade comparing, I promise.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Once you get more chummy with these people.
Totally.
How are your classmates?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like my group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are like your takeaways? We like kind of laughed about the survey and some of your answers, like as it relates to like, your socioeconomic status and stuff like that. Have there been any other examples of stuff like that?
Of me saying tone deaf shit?
Sure, that or like the kind of questions they've asked or the directions these conversations have gone.
I mentioned in class, I was like, you know, you're asking us to put a lot of faith in you to not penalize us for saying things that may be unsavory. And she was like, I know, like, and of course I have my prejudgments, but like, I can't grade based on that, you know? And I was like, okay, I believe you.
Wow. And you're just like, 'cause MAGA bitch, like what do you think you're going to say that might like completely be at odds with her?
I walked right into that question.
You sure did.
I don't know, shit about black people, bro.
Like, what would you or say like, about black people? Like,
well, I was like defending.
You're an ally.
I was within, we broke into smaller groups to talk about how race informs things and what challenges we see coming up against in that class, like personally. Mm-hmm. And somehow I got on the topic of like how some jokes should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And right. like, once not, again, defending the first speech up in this bitch.
Not a popular take in a lot of academic circles, I feel.
Yeah.
Even if it's something I agree with.
Of yeah, course, yeah. Like the Harvard president.
Sure.
Just signed.
Oh, she let free speech all over that campus.
Like, she doesn't have to talk about Palestine. That's so crazy. It's like an educational institution that should, like, since when were they vocal on it? I don't know.
Well, you know, the protests, they're like, there's, like, death to Israel in the chants and stuff like that. So they're just like, okay, why are you letting these anti-Semitic, like, this anti-Semitic rhetoric on your campus, you know, if it's against Jewish people and not against Palestinian people, are like, you know, if the shoe were on the other foot and they're saying death to the...
Wait, but didn't she sign off because... Didn't she step down because...
A plagiarism thing?
Oh, well, maybe. But I was going to say because she wasn't sympathetic to Palestine versus Israel.
I think you're always caught in a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
I think her plagiarism thing was overblown because of like her allowing the protests to get to the point that they did.
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know... It's a thankless job. You know, it's like yeah. any kind of leadership role. Like being a president, I don't want that job, you know?
Yeah. But in a way, this is a job. This podcast here.
You mean the Guantanamo Bay's podcast?
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
Maybe the longest intro ever, but it was.
I don't think so.
No.
I love how we just slip in now, very casually. Just a finger.
Just a pinky.
Just a pinky.
I want to know more, though, about the... Well, and you said, like, stuff that might get me in trouble, stuff you say about black people. Maybe it's... Well, it's not, like, about black people, but maybe it's namely, like, the way we can talk about race is so specific and in such specific constraints.
Right.
Within certain,
like,
circles.
I think the joke becomes malevolent if, like, a black person's there to hear it and they don't want to.
Right.
But, like, right. I feel like jokes... There's clearly a line, but, like, a lot of jokes, or, like, even, like, parroting something someone said because you found it funny, like, that should be fair game, bro.
Are you talking about, like, doing impressions?
Yeah.
Parroting something that sounds...
Doing my best Al Jolson. Which, by the way, I hope you appreciated my happy MLK photo that I sent you. I happened to put on a black face mask, and my friend was like, dude, it would be so funny if you sent this to a few people with happy MLK Day. I swear the mask came first.
I didn't think you'd be like, it's MLK Day. What if I put on a face mask?
Yeah. So that makes it okay. The fact I sang...
that makes it... Yeah.
The fact...
Definitely makes it more okay.
The fact that I sang Swanee River afterward in the mask was maybe not okay.
Yeah. I think we all agree with that. You said that to me, like, literally all I texted you back was the words Julian, all caps, just Julian.
You like being irreverent.
I died laughing, of course, but I was just like, I can't believe what appeared on my phone just now.
My friend Seth, who, as we both know, is coolly detached from literally everything, sent me a very curt LOL, which is more than he's ever given
all
me.
Lowercase.
So I was like, this killed.
He's not a big laugher, necessarily.
No, he's very Russian.
Right. Yeah. There's a melancholy that pervades the Russian soul.
Totally. I kind of envy it in ways. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to be this goddamn canine?
Because it's such a lucid perspective.
It is a lucid perspective. Like, kind of free of emotion, maybe?
Yeah. A detachment.
There's a detachment. Whereas, like, we're just, you know, passionate and... Throw things at walls, throw things at each other, then immediately you apologize and fuck afterward.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What seems more favorable to you?
Well, for my own peace of mind, the former, but for interpersonal relationships, the latter. Break shit and fuck.
Do you have...
Instead of move fast and break things, my tech startup would just be break shit and fuck. Your move, Mark Zucky.
Yeah, I think... You know, Move Fast and Break Things was very 10 years ago. This is like the new iteration.
I know the rhetoric around it is so destructive that, like, now that would not pass the Twitter sniff test.
No, like this tech youth obsession. It's like we finally wise up to the fact that most of these people were just con artists.
Totally.
And they just moved into like a...
They used the tools of the master's house to pretend to dismantle the house.
Right. Now they've moved into like a social media space to become like... lifestyle, like, you know, brand ambassadors or hustlers, or like, man, a lot of them are like teaching master classes. I'm like, who's this 23-year-old kid?
I know.
Like, and then some of my favorite Instagram ads lately are like these slideshows of describing how what you're doing is like you're a wage slave. And it's like, but with this new system, if you only put in like 5 to 8 hours of work a day, you could be making $40,000 a year. I'm like, you're literally pitching
me a
minimum
wage. Yeah, it's like, how does Sam Bankman Friedman or whatever have a phone in prison?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that dude's name?
Sam Bankman Fried.
Okay.
But I'm like your alternative is like, you're still pitching me like a minimum wage job. You know, you're still like if you could work full-time hours, you'll still make minimum wage money. Damn. Through my system. And I'm like, this is a bad system.
Damn. I feel this like tanking my mood in real time.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break up the depressing state of like fraud.
No, it's okay. It's to quote the Oscar-winning song, it's hard out here for a pimp.
The whole lot of bitches jumping ship, I think, was with the Cadillac and gas money spent.
You're so much more well-versed in like 90s hip-hop. I only know the one...
Refrain. This was, I hate to be a little this, but it was in the mid 2000s because it was for the movie Hustle and Flow.
Correct. 2005, yeah. I think.
Right. So not
look
90s.
At us being
not 90s
savant twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely 2005.
2005. Mm-hmm. Three Six Mafia.
Taraji P. Henson was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen The Color Purple yet? Speaking of Taraji,
no.
I really enjoyed it. Great ensemble. They should be winning at the awards.
How could be mad at what you have to say about black people when you're literally going to bat for Color Purple winning awards?
When that's the thing is I don't see color. Like, I really don't. You really like, I give credit where it's due.
Relationship to art. And I think art is a place where you're allowed to be colorblind. Like, you can appreciate, you know, the DEI nature of it.
What better place? I mean, I know it's objective, like taking an art, but like that for me seems like a good place for meritocracy.
Yeah. That's how it's supposed to be. That's why whenever there was a push for diversity in the creative market, I was like, this is great because we're going to see stuff that like we've never before seen or fathomed. But all they did was make the same shit and just put people of different backgrounds in the same watered down, and they're still doing it.
What are you talking about? Like visual art?
No, I'm talking about like creative, and I meant mostly like TV shows.
Oh, like
shows
television,
and
right.
Yeah, like TV shows and movies. It was like, whoa, you're just, you didn't even like explore their story or their perspective. You just made it the same story we've seen and just put a black woman in it.
Which works for me.
Uh-huh. The first 10 times, maybe.
And this, I mean, Color Purple is actually an example of this, but for me, I start to get a little fatigued when like the story is about their identity.
Right.
And like, I guess you could argue every story is about the protagonist's identity.
Right.
But like, yeah.
But like, our relationship with identity is so obsessive right now.
Yeah, exactly. Which we is why like celebrate. Some of these psychology classes really grind my gears.
Because yeah.
I'm like, it's out. Right. It's out, honey. Mm-hmm. It's last season.
And we could live our lives without like hyper-focusing on these uber niche interests and preferences that we have.
Yeah, and I think actually looking at like overlapping issues will lead to more substantial structural change.
Wow.
Because it is a class issue.
Right.
Way more than racial lines. I mean, of course that informs it some, but that's not the be all end all. And I think academically it's just become like status quo to believe that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like who are we quote unquote radicalizing at this point?
I know.
The die is cast. It's out there.
The die is cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we said, the die is cast.
How dramatic is that
phrase?
Which I think is accredited to Julius Caesar.
Ooh.
How juicy is that?
So juicy. A juicy Julius moment.
Just as important as the quote is who said it, because if it's Julius Caesar, you're just like, that's some empire shit. Like he cast some.
Look at that laurel.
He cast some dark die right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we said, the 2020s has been a fantastic era for gay people who date people of the opposite sex. it's just been a great era for exploring and celebrating and parading the nicheness, like the further niche we can get with our designations and our labels.
Yeah. But just like white straight men that are vilified, like I know some good ones too. I know versions of you that are gay but date the other sex, you know?
Yeah.
In that you're both equally agreeable.
No, it's funny. It's just like now it's the rhetoric that was considered like harmful 20, 30 years ago where you tell someone like, you're a credit to your race, you know? Or like, oh no, there's some good ones out there for sure. It's just like Poppy, my grandfather, had maybe the best rebuttal I've ever heard to someone being racist. Because I always give him shit, you know. He's
flagrantly racist,
flagrantly
Brian.
And proud, like proud racist, and you know, give him shit for it all the time, and like you know, poke his brain about it and all this shit. And I'm like, I've told him like, Poppy, you're friends with black people, you know. He's in the community in small town Texas, and I'm like, you know, black people, you're friends with black people. What's the deal? Like, how could he be so racist?
He's also a descendant of like Lebanese people.
Yeah.
That's brown, honey.
He's part of a massive like diaspora of like, you know, people evicted from their homes and, you know, and their lands and stuff like
that. Yeah.
So how
like
could,
every other generation,
how can you not empathize? You know? And then he's like, yeah, well, just because they're my friends doesn't mean I want them to be my president. And I'm like, damn it. I'm like, interesting rationale.
I'm kind of coming around to that way of thinking.
Not for like
considering, black people, I don't know, some of the people around. not specifically because they're black, just because I don't think they can necessarily carry the mantle. And again, it's because I believe in a meritocracy.
Well, no, but that's why it's stupid to like elect people because they check like certain identity boxes.
Exactly.
That's why it was stupid for Joe Biden to say, I'll definitely have a black female VP before vetting any candidates. And Bernie was like, I'm not going to commit to that. What are you, nuts? Like, this was before, you know, Biden was won that primary. And then look who we have. The worst fucking VP.
Oh, come on.
Worst VP is dramatic, but
I don't know her well enough day to day. But I do think
it's
there's...
because they sweep her under the rug.
I know, but like, I'd like to not have her be swept under the rug so I can make my own assessment. Thank you.
Well, if you... like, the limited sample size is not at all impressive.
Well, you would know this sooner than I would.
Yeah, yeah. I'll
I don't go to the Hill, Brian.
I'll send you some Kamala Harris highlights from some of her public appearances, and we'll see what you have to say about them.
I know she dated a rapper.
I mean, that's great.
Or, no, she... did she? I know she dated the... I don't fucking know. Look at me talking out of my ass.
I hope, you know, like, dating a rapper should not disqualify you from being vice president or president. I'm happy that...
and that's my racism.
Right, yeah.
That's some shit I shouldn't say.
Right, right. But the fact that she can't, like, hold her own in a public setting is, I think, kind of an indictment on you as a leader, right?
Yeah.
Generally
speaking. And her stepdaughter kind of annoys the shit out of me.
Who's her stepdaughter?
She's like this fashion darling named Ella Emhoff. What a You've name. Seen her around, dude.
Really?
She, they, I don't know, is so basic.
Even being they is basic now. We're bored of theys.
Well, I know some interesting theys. She's not an interesting one.
That's, yeah, no, I got plenty of good they friends.
Yeah.
And some, I'm sure, are good people.
Yeah, Iowa caucuses were today, too.
Yeah.
While we're just doing a clean sweep of every topic.
Yeah, sure. Trump won, right?
Trump won, indubitably.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They stopped counting after, like, 6%. Like, yeah. Yeah, they were just like, wow, this is, like, clearly...
the first 50 ballots were Trump. They're just like, we don't even have to.
Yeah. Let's get cheese curds, guys.
Let's guesstimate. In Iowa. Iowa's wheat and corn?
Probably, yeah. Corn. Yeah. So they're like, let's get some corn on the cob now, fellas.
Yeah. Deep fried corn at the festival.
Yeah.
At the fair. You've never been to the Dallas County Fair or the Texas State Fair in Dallas, have you?
I don't think I have. Yeah. If I did, I was a little kid. But I have been to like county fairs in Texas.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It's the real deal.
That's one that has big techs, you know, the giant, like, kind of animatronic. You never heard of big techs?
Is it like a man?
He's like a massive animatronic statue who, like, waves to people coming in. It's like a giant man, like a Paul Bunyan looking kind of cowboy guy. Yeah. That's the hallmark
thick
of
eyebrows?
The Texas State Fair. I'll bet he does, yeah.
5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, you know it. You know it. Should we cover news from the motherland?
I think we should.
We are the Guantanamo Bays after all.
Let's talk about Cuba.
Well,
let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about Cuba. We.
See?
See? Yeah.
Come on, motherfucker. It was right there and you went for the French version of yes.
Yeah, because the Afro-Cuban Santeria priests have released their predictions of 2024. Now, you know, we don't practice Santeria. We ain't got no crystal ball. Santeria,
Brian,
of course,
tends to criticize the Santeria community or diminish them.
What? What does that even mean?
When we were talking about Night of the Three Ps, which, as we said on the last episode, was a night where the Communist Party raided brothels and rounded up gay people and also spiritual leaders.
Right.
And you were like, how are they anything like the others? And I'm like, it was powerful.
Like, no, it was like, you know, quote unquote pimps, you know, prostitutes
and pajaritos.
And yeah. And voodoo practitioners.
And oh, so it's because it didn't fit the P model?
That's what I'm saying. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And not just the P's, but also like, you know, like practicing voodoo is different from being a prostitute. Right? So it's...
And also
it's a practice of like an ancient mystic art.
And prostitution isn't?
It's the oldest profession. But that's also
why... Surely you have been mystified by a vagina.
Sure. But I mean,
you can practically hear an ohm when you look into one.
Yes. And I'm
it's
always
like, it like hums at the resonance of the universe.
I'm always just staring right at it, just letting its vibrations, you know, take over my
body. It's like a sound bath.
Yeah. It's
Brian, you look so well rested.
Yeah. You know, I just hit the gong in front of the yoni. And,
in front of the yoni? Yeah. You gamers with your dirty speech.
Yoni is like an ancient designation for the vagina.
It's, oh, that's cool. Then that actually fits with what we're going with. This yeah. whole sound bath vibe.
So the 2024 Afro-Cuban priests, the Afro-Cuban Century of Priests,
made a tacky-ass prediction.
I wouldn't say it's tacky. What's well,
it's
tacky?
It's obvious.
Well, okay, but what's...
They for, well, let's talk about what Julian, they forecasted. Okay,
Julian.
I cede the floor.
Julian. What's tacky is saying, this is my year. You know, every year, this is my year. We're going to fucking crush it this year. They came out and did the exact opposite, essentially saying that they forecast violence and financial problems in 2024.
Well, when you take into account this great exodus, all these migrants coming from Cuba now.
Cuba's facing the biggest migration crisis since the 60s.
So, of course, that's going to lead to, once again, vacuums and vacuums create violence.
It's led to sweeping policy changes in the country, but there's also an element of like too little too late. Gons, our uncle who just visited, he met a Cuban business owner and was like, you know, things are so bad here economically. You know, do you ever think of packing it and moving somewhere else? And she's like, no, I need to make my impact here. I want to grow my business here and, you know, spread the wealth here and
help. Get in early.
Yeah. And now is the time to buy low, I think. I mean, for a place that's as financially depressed as Cuba, that has as up and coming of a private sector, That's as good of a buy low situation, not to relate, you know, this communist project in terms of such like cold hard capitalism.
But that's too late. We do that every week.
That's the world we live in, baby. But yeah, so I mean, it's kind of crazy that the Santa Maria priests, and they're kind of putting on the government. They said, although of course Santa Maria priests probably don't have a great relationship with the Cuban government historically, with what the Cuban government's done to
with the communist government. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he said, the priest encourages Cuban authorities to acknowledge the public's state of desperation and said their role is to diagnose the problems.
They sound like leftists. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, who probably view the Communist Party as like authoritarian right.
Right. And they did. I mean, but they are also like pro-business, as we're figuring out. Like, one of them warned that if one fails to honor commercial agreements, neglects commitments, or falls short on promises, the repercussions could be terrible. That's sort of alluding to the opening of the private sector in Cuba, I think.
Right.
Like, to honor commercial agreements. Like, the fact that's even been discussed by someone in the Santeria community now.
This is them yearning for capitalism.
Yeah.
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 Yearning for some kind of economic... anything pro-economic movement, which has not been going Cuba's way at all.
Which, compared to an authoritarian government, does lend itself more to a middle class.
And what, you know, it's funny, too,
a growing class.
We talk about all the time how badly the U.S. embargo has disrupted their economy, and we know that that's absolutely a fact. But one thing I brought up last week or last episode was I do feel like the government could do more to help people in their financial dire straits. And this is what the Santa Maria community...
I can't talk shit like that, though, because I wouldn't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, in theory, kind of what they're starting to do, like giving people the chance to create their own businesses or start their own enterprises or dictate their own prices, which was not an option until 2 years ago. And even now, it's at a super small scale. So it's kind of funny to watch these like religious... you know, people with no like capitalistic identity kind of like yearn for a more commercial, like they say they want to honor commercial agreements. That's kind of plain as day.
I'm sure these bitches would love to sell their wares.
True. Yeah.
You know, I love a crystal shop bitch.
And you say like, that's a funny kind of more economic slant from them than I would have expect. But like everyone is more economic than they realize until like they're granted the opportunity, you know, to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Make a better life.
To file an LLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Right off that extra bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Claim it as an office.
So, I mean, the people seem to have a sense that even if they don't hate the communist government, I know a lot of them, they're certainly feel like they could do a lot more. But that kind of relates to, and we said this in our last episode, no matter where people live, they're always going to have problems with their government.
Yeah, for sure. One reason why I think this is tacky, though, is because it reminds me of, like, every year, the forecasts I was thinking of aren't necessarily, like, personal goals that people post about, but, like, you know, you have all these, like, armchair psychics that come out of the woodwork that are like, this year, Prince Harry will die. And, like, and I love at the end of the year, like, people will take inventory of these different prophecies and, like, see how correct they were.
That's funny. Yeah. I could use more of that. I want more bold predictions. So the fact that, like, these Santerias forecast a famine in a very famine looking year,
it is less speculative than, like, Prince Harry's gonna die.
Right. But if they were just like, the third child on the eighth moon of September, you know.
Yeah,
like,
Mario Castro will become a lesbian.
A man, yeah.
A man. First Cuban public official to transition.
Then they would have officially outwoked us at that point.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck.
We gotta catch up, guys.
Yeah. The drag queen readings aren't cutting it.
You know who I didn't see on Epstein's list, by the way?
Who?
Drag queens.
Compared to who?
Anyone else? All the other fucking diddlers on that list.
I hadn't seen the updated list.
Yeah, not a single drag brunch book reader.
Well, it's just that they're busy. That's a high power. That's an A-list clientele, honey.
Oh, it's so funny. I'm trying to, like, make a pro like drag queen joke, and you're just like, well, it's because they're not connected, Brian. Don't think they wouldn't have been on that airplane in one
100%.
Second.
100%. Anything you were looking for, Epstein could get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're saying is we need more influential drag queens.
Yeah, let's let that be
so
the takeaway.
So we can get them on Epstein's. That's what I've noticed. It's like this whole post-Me Too world is just about, like, putting other people who are not white men into positions for them to be total shitheads. Like, that's the world we've kind of cultivated. Is, like, kind of now excusing shithead behavior. Because it's not a white guy doing it.
Am I crazy? Yeah, maybe.
Am I crazy?
Maybe. It's just... But here I am now reluctant to make a generalization for once in my life.
Yeah, no, come on. Go with me on this journey.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's just, like, kind of just, like, speaks to, like, moral and spiritual decay. That even though we diagnose this problem of, like, abusive men in power, we got them out of power, we still put abusers in there. It just looks different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if these new ones are abusers.
I think there's, like, plenty of...
I think if anything, it's just fucking nerdy. That's my issue right now. We're once again going back to the entertainment industry. Like, I just look at the award shows and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, these are just like teacher's pets.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be rock and roll, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, the corporatization does make it feel more bland and yeah, just like circle jerky.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hollywood. Don't be mad at me. It just feels a little circle jerky right
we
now.
We still want to be hired, of course.
Yeah, I still want to be invited to the circle jerk.
Yeah, I've got my knee pads in the trunk of my car.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, there hasn't been a gangbang on this lot since 1990, kid.
Yeah.
After family ties shut down, we haven't had one.
Yeah. It's all green juice and yoga now.
Yeah. American Santeria. You have no idea how desperately I was trying to get back to the actual topic. I saw an opening and I tore through.
I thought we moved on.
But and we can, I suppose.
It's probably a good time too.
I mean, you obviously think that they're right in this case, even though you're such a Santeria and astrology doubter.
Look, I'm a consummate optimist. I know things are bad globally. I have an optimism of 2024 being a very honest year.
Okay. Yeah. Honest. That's so cryptic. That reminds me of when Kylie Jenner was about to be 2020, or I think it had just turned 2020, and she was like, this is the year of, like, people realizing stuff. Which was prophetic. Once again, Santeria. Like, she was right, but just it was so inarticulately worded. It was pretty funny.
Well, then I'm fucking nailing it then.
Yeah. Call him Kylie.
Talk to me in 3 years. Well, I'll put it, you know, the first 2020 through 2023, just such a clusterfuck, and we know all the reasons why. And it's not just
It was COVID. A bloodletting, Brian.
Yeah.
Goats were bleeding in the streets.
And I think
it was and has been.
And I think we're
an
woozy.
Absolute shit show.
Yeah, we're woozy from that. And so I think there's like
I'm broken.
There's a reckoning. So I do. So when I say it's an honest year, we have nowhere else. We can't bullshit ourselves anymore. We can't kid ourselves anymore. And I think that's like a national or even a global attitude. But that's how I feel.
And that's Brian's Santeria prediction.
That's my Santeria. That's my crystal ball.
Cool.
What about yours?
I don't know. I can't. I don't yet know if we're at the darkest point. Part of me thinks not.
I think might not be.
If we zoom out enough, I think we are working towards.
You are here.
If you zoom out enough, well, kind of. If you zoom out enough, maybe this actually is the age of Aquarius, and we'll actually transcend and evaporate and become a different element altogether, which is what Aquarius represents.
Yes, it is.
Pisces is more connection and interpersonal, whereas Aquarians, there's something that's more transcendent.
Were we in the age of Pisces?
No, we were in the age of Capricorn, I suppose.
Man. Desert Storm. Such a Capricorn moment.
What do you mean, Desert Storm?
I don't know what age of Capricorn means. I'm just thinking
of the
stuff
age of Aquarius,
happens.
You know, it's from the musical Hair. This is the dawn.
Which is supposed to happen at like the turn, because these ages last a long time. But it's supposed to happen like right around now, like the turn of the 21st century is when the planets align for what's like this 100-year kind of like age.
Yeah, right, right.
So that's why it's appropriate that in the first
so
X
it can mark
years,
upheaval and structural change and
a bloodletting is part of that.
And bloodletting is part of that.
It's the first part.
Yeah.
Let the sun shine.
Let the sun shine in. That ended up being a belly flop, honey. Cut it.
I don't know the harmonies.
But you know where I do know the harmonies is the world according to Jules.
Is that the world you want to live in?
It certainly is.
We reversed the intro on that one.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. This is where I read Julian a headline from the week that was. He gives me his completely unfiltered response. He has 30 to 60 uninterrupted seconds. Are you ready for your assignment, Julian?
I am ready.
All right, here's your first one. A conspiracy theorist who blamed the government for forest fires admitted that he started 14 himself. Your thoughts?
A governor?
No, a conspiracy theorist who blamed the government for forest fires.
So I do think there is self-fulfilling prophecy with conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is something worth investigating with Santeria as well. To quote my mother, who is probably quoting another philosopher. I have it. Thoughts become things. He wanted to manifest this. And I told you I'm working on manifestations of my own. Do I wish he had different manifestations? Yes. Am I pretty fatigued with conspiracy theorists? Yes. Was 9/11 planned? Maybe. I like go off queen, but that's not my bag.
Time. Great. It is funny because you said like he you know, thoughts become things. He manifested it. But what he was talking about was like the government is doing these forest fires.
Oh,
so
him manifesting it would be the government actually doing
exactly,
forest fires?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, if he could pull the strings, you know.
But fuck, I've been manifesting all wrong.
That's a tall order. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's different.
I got to rewrite my manifestations for 2024.
You ready for your next story?
Sure.
Okay. Help wanted. That first one was from Business Insider, by the way. I should credit these. This one is from militarytimes.com.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. Guardsman applies to be a hitman but gets arrested instead. Your thoughts?
I do like the idea of a guardman because it reminds me of Snow White. I picture like the queen's henchman. Why he would want to turn down a life in a medieval period in the Bavarian forest to become what I imagine is a second-rate Michael Fassbender in The Killer does not compute. Have you seen The Killer?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic film, and I liked how neurotic Michael Fassbender was with it. If you're just a guardman working for the evil queen and your scope is a forest, I don't think you're quite cut out to be a Michael Fassbender-esque protagonist in a David Fincher movie.
He is a Tennessee Air National Guard service member.
Let him in.
Who like he should he would be a good assassin.
Let him be an assassin.
Let's not pretend like he would.
I mean, the US trains like teenagers from Nicaragua to do it. What's wrong with this guy?
I know. The fact that he did it on Craigslist instead of like, you know, went to his
I know. Sorry he wasn't on sorry he didn't know Epstein. Sorry he had to go through like more democratized channels.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, that's
more democratized channels would be such a heady, funny improv team name.
It would be. We'll keep that one in mind. Are you ready for your next headline?
Certainly.
Okay. Man sues 27 women after Facebook calls Facebook users call him clingy and psycho. Basically, there is a group in Chicago, a Facebook group titled "Are We Dating the Same Guy?" This guy comes up. A lot of women have opinions on him, and they're all seemingly negative. And he's now suing Facebook and these women.
For defamation.
Yeah.
I think that's totally worthwhile. I love a defamation lawsuit. I love that that's one of the cornerstones of the American economy is people just like, you know, banking out because they were spanking out, you know, they were been spanking out.
Right.
I'm glad you showed me a photo of this guy. He's incredibly hot.
I know. What's the problem?
I hope him. I wish him litigious luck.
And he looks like he'd have total roid rage, though. Right.
I don't know if he's roided out. I mean, there's not enough veins. That's just a well-shaped arm, honey.
Maybe, but, you know, clingy, psycho. I don't know. It's like all these words. It's like, once again, we talk about he said, she said, but then there's he said, she said, she said, she said, she said. And then there's also maybe the component of like, you should be careful around this guy. You know, I'm looking out for a sister.
To quote Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
As the British one in The Parent Trap.
Oh, wow.
British Lindsay.
This is going to be a heavy quote. Heavy, heavy quote coming.
I'll take a whack at it. Because no one wants to step up to this fierce poker game that her twin is doing really well at. And so she goes up against her twin. She goes, I'll take a whack at it. And then she reveals her cards. And it's a royal flush.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I don't like being choked or anything.
But you're looking at this
but
guy.
But like, I've also never been with anyone that's that filled out. So
you want to give it a try?
I don't know. Here I am once again apologizing for like sexual predators.
Yeah. Because they're hot, I guess.
Epstein was hot. I'll say it.
Okay.
I hate that our family listens to this.
You're looking at him, though, and you're like, I can change him. Do you know?
No, I don't know if I could change him, actually. Maybe it is like buyer beware.
Or you're looking at him and you're like, I'll let him change me.
me blue. All the other ones made me metaphorically blue, but you can make me physically blue.
Oh, God. Have you heard of a Twitter?
He looks
account?
Floridian in that orange fluorescent colored T-shirt.
He looks very, very Floridian.
He's about to hit the bayou.
Yes, he looks. Although this is a Chicago group, so
he's gay, city, dude. Like that level of fixation on your own body is like kind of homosexual.
Also,
kind of
like psycho repressed behavior. Like if you're kind of violent towards women and you're repressing your own sexuality, that actually kind of makes a lot of sense.
I just want him to hold space for himself.
He has the body of a gay man. There's no other like.
No
guys that jack.
Yeah. But also like it's not as like lean and toned as a lot of gay bodies. Mm. A lot of like fit gay bodies, IMHO.
Yeah, this is a lot of time we're talking about.
Like
this guy.
He still eats.
Okay. We can't keep doing a visual bit for the listeners. We can't keep describing something visual. Although let's just post his thing on the his photo on the Instagram.
Have you seen
he'll
this
add
man?
Us to the lawsuit.
LA, beware.
Oh, man.
I mean, whatever. I don't want to sympathize with him too much because I don't know the details of this. But
have you ever heard of
but it sucks to walk around in your own city and like people harass you.
Yeah, that Scarlet Letter. He's a Scarlet Letter.
He wears the Scarlet Letter. Call him Hester Prynne because he has the Scarlet Letter.
All right. That's a good distillation of our thoughts there. Call him Hester. Have you heard of a Twitter account called Mugshotties?
No.
It's just really attractive women's mugshots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... there's got to be a male equivalent out there.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. There's something just like so dark about that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, porn already is like looking at someone in a prison economically.
Jesus.
Or else they wouldn't be doing cam shows and stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're in, all in the same prison. We're just getting the bag differently.
It's just my huge dick of a voice that you see.
Yeah, yeah. I wave my voice coochie everywhere. I'm waving that vocal coochie. All right. You ready for your last one?
Yeah, you have a lot today.
I know. There were just so many fun headlines.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Zuckerberg derided for his high-quality beef ranch, high-quality beef in quotes, where cows are fed macadamia nuts and beer. Critics call cattle-raising project on Hawaii, yeah, a billionaire strange sideshow and bad for the environment.
I definitely am against the amount of land seizure that seems to be happening in Hawaii.
Especially following the
by Zucky, by Oprah. I am not against the ethical component of this story because, once again, I am a Louis Vuitton proponent, and they allegedly wrap their cows in bubble wrap. So what's a few pistachio nuts and some beer? That sounds like a lovely Tuesday night to me.
That's what they do for Kobe beef. They soak, apparently, the hooves in beer.
Yeah, and maybe it's from because I'm from Texas, but I'm like, it's a cow. Like, she could handle it.
Have you seen like videos of, you know, people with pet cows and like the relationships people have with cows? Have you seen those videos? Cows are smart. They're like dogs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're mammals, right? Like, yeah. I do empathize with the mammal in general.
Yeah. I eat beef. Not as much as I guess I did growing up because I eat it constantly. But
no, you don't.
I feel like I always ate beef when I was, like, growing up.
Oh, growing up.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't eat as much.
Well, back in the day, they would just give it away.
Yeah, yeah, it's everywhere. I feel like burgers were always such a go-to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, like, I was like, yeah, everyone eats this much beef, right? And I didn't realize how, like, beef-centric Texas was. But...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I bet that those cows weren't being fed beer. And, I mean, Zucky on this front probably knows what he's doing. I bet this would make the beef taste fucking delicious. I wonder what kind of beer it is. I'm glad they're hitting him, though, wherever they can.
Just like, whatever actions he does, we're going to try to hold you accountable, motherfucker.
Yeah. And also, he's like, yeah, taking a lot of land in Hawaii. It's just like super fucked up. He is not millennial excellence.
No. No, he's the embodiment of like millennial pettiness and...
Yeah, mixed with like boomer capitalistic, like unfettered capitalistic aspirations.
Yeah, yeah. He's the bridge between like boomer capitalism and like millennial misanthropy.
Yeah, like he doesn't own any earthenware the way a lot of millennials do. Like he's not like a good millennial with his aesthetic or anything. It's kind of gross.
Well, I think we've properly skewered Mark Zuckerberg.
Skewer like beef.
Ah!
Did he do that intentionally?
Not exactly, but
let's say yes.
I think God intended it for me to say it.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was The World According to Jules. Say bye, Julian.
Bye-bye.
All right. What do you want to cover next, cousin?
Let's talk about some gay shit, Brian. I'm chomping at the bit.
Okay, because that means it is time for our gay item
of the week.
What's the gay item of the week, Julian?
So I'm coming in with a physical item like I often do.
Physical item and a news item.
And a news item.
Yeah.
I want to bring both.
I love it.
She's bringing both. So I'll start with the gay physical item, actually. There's a contraption that I learned about where people would blow. This was like in the 18th century. It was a little box that contained a pair of bellows and an assortment of pipes and other fixtures that was used to pump tobacco into people's rectums.
Oh, whoa, goodness.
It was used to revive drowning victims oftentimes.
That'll give you quite the buzz. Yeah, it's like smelling salts. It's like, that's the new version of it. They're like, is there anything we could do that doesn't involve putting stuff up my butt?
Which, like, you know, tobacco elevates your heart rate, so not a bad guess.
And ingesting stuff through the anus makes it work that much faster and more intense.
Perhaps.
But I've learned, I mean, I haven't learned it firsthand, but like this is something that I know medically.
Yeah. But look at these fucking Jekyll and Hyde looking ass tools.
Wow.
I mean, but that really does look cool. Like an air cushion, like an air pump.
If I had like a bookshelf, like a fancy mantle or something where I could like just display that, just because you wouldn't know what it is by looking at it. It looks so fancy, you know?
I would use it if I owned it.
You would literally use it?
Yeah.
Smoke and everything?
I would try it once.
Yeah.
And then I'd, you know, dust it.
To honor it.
Yeah, to christen it.
Yeah.
To re-christen it.
Who knows who's...
Yeah, you know, some Sweeney Todd.
Who's turn of the century ass.
Yeah, that was Mrs. Lovett looking ass bitch.
Are you afraid of like a soul, like maybe pumping a soul inside of you?
Like the plot of Talk to Me where they grab the hand and are like talk to it like a soul from the past.
Now I just realized how many plays this movie didn't go to when they had this opportunity wide open.
The smoke like forms into an apparition that like comes out of your ass.
Exactly.
It's like the plague.
It's like, yeah, where Talk to Me meets South Park. It's like stuff coming out of Cartman's ass or something.
We should go to A24 with this grand slam of an idea.
I think it's great.
There's always like a flavor, an appetite for like Victorian content.
Yeah, it's evergreen. Sometimes it goes like in and out of popularity, but even when it's not that popular, you're still gonna have BBC putting shit out.
100%. It's their bread and butter.
You're still gonna have
that's their scone and jam.
A limited series of a Jane Austen novel premiere somewhere, you know.
I wanted to see Sense and Sensibility on the plane, which Emma Thompson won an Oscar for writing, but just didn't hold my attention. I was also reading a book, so
yeah,
which was not Jane Austen. So it was just too many cooks in the
kitchen.
And
if you're like reading a book because a movie can't hold your attention, usually people are trying to read a book and then a movie distracts them. So if a book is distracting you from a movie,
fair.
That kind of says something about it.
But the gay news item of the week.
The gay news item of the week
is NFL related.
Get out of here. You ish. Spoil me.
Ish.
You
ish.
Spoil me, cousin.
Actually, I don't know if this guy's a football commentator. Jason Whitlock?
Right. Witten?
Whitlock. This motherfucker.
Exposed. No, I don't know who Jason Whitlock is off the top of my head.
He's an ESPN commentator.
Okay.
And he shared his computer screen. Mm-hmm. And on his computer screen was a targeted ad that was super gay. And so everyone was like, oh my God, is he gay? Where's the ad? I want to read it.
He hosts a program for the conservative media company Blaze Media.
Oh, wait.
So he's a conservative contributor.
ESPN has conservative contributors?
I don't know if he works for ESPN, Julian. I think you just... Oh, is a former columnist at the Kansas City Star. So he's a former ESPN reporter. And whenever ESPN people get laid off or comedians don't succeed, they become conservative political pundits
because ESPN
skews very liberal,
right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the people that are commentators on there like are there forever, so like you really have
they
to,
are but
really
but also,
have to fuck up to get the boot.
But ESPN is also in a lot of dire financial straits, so they've also had a ton of layoffs of a lot of their senior staff.
A little belt tightening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ton of belt tightening in the last like 10 years. It's like a skeleton of what it was.
ESPN is now ESP.
Yeah, exactly. After a while, it's just going to be S. And then it's E. Then we'll hit...
That tickled me.
Then we'll hit full Idiocracy at that point.
So
he has targeted gay ads, which is...
Yeah, I'm trying to find a fucking...
Talk about projection.
I'm trying to find a fucking photo of the ad, but of course I can't because we live in a place that censors gay shit sometimes.
Wait, didn't you take a screenshot of it?
No.
Oh.
Why?
I thought you like you showed it to me for a second. I thought I saw it.
No, that was something else. Now I'm opening TikTok to find this. That's how committed I am.
Okay.
Eyes. Oh, here we go. It says balls deep inside of me is a great way to spend my birthday.
Okay, that's
the caption
very,
to the ad.
See, you just don't get those ads unless.
Yeah, I'm super careful. If I take like a screenshot or something to send someone, I will trim it. So, like, you don't see any banners, anything, my tabs that are open.
No, that's smart.
That's just proprietary, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, if you're going to share your screen, like, you know, like, know what you're sharing.
Or if you're going to be gay, don't be a conservative pundit, dipshit.
Yeah.
Don't do what I'm doing.
The massive projection. It's so... Like, sometimes whenever someone, like, is homophobic or anti...
Or being dragged on a Chicago thread by a bunch of women.
Right. Or, you know, if they're super anti, their big crusade is child abuse or what have you. It's like, lo and behold, those people almost always have a history of doing exactly that thing.
Oh, you're talking like right wingers that freak out about like pedophilic cabals and stuff.
Exactly.
That old chestnut.
They're engaging in pedophilia in a cabal like fashion, you know, with the kind of the inside nature of it. So sometimes whenever there's a conservative pundit, I'm just like, please let this guy just be hateful. Don't let him also be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But then it's like, lo and behold, he's also a hypocrite.
Yeah. You know? And there are some gay conservative pundits that, like, maybe I don't appreciate them, but they're kind of punk rock because they're out. You know what I mean?
So, although gay fascism is certainly on the rise.
Gays have always been fascist.
True.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I want to see the world entrenched in my aesthetic code.
That was kind of the idea.
I want everywhere to look like Palm Springs. Even the North Pole, Brian. That's the kind of pro-development I could get behind.
Those are the kind of developers that you'd be in the
pocket. They're all one level. There's no affordable housing.
The lobbyists will love
it. But look at this succulent.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about over there?
Swear to take this next.
I don't know if we have to. Oh, although I forgot to ask you. So we did do hookah before this.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the flavor?
I love the flavor. It was... white grape, strawberry, blue mist.
White gummy.
White gummy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. White gummy bear, right.
Right.
That's what she
said. And blue mist, which you described as menthol. I didn't find it very menthol.
The aftertaste wasn't as like strong as I expected it to be.
Mm.
But I don't hookah a bunch, so it's kind of cool to just... like, I hookahed the most when I was in between the ages of 18 and 21.
The first time I hookahed was when we were at New York Film Academy, and we were 16.
I remember that.
And we went to one right off of St. Mark's.
I think that was probably my first time hookah.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to pretend like it was all cool. I was like,
calm. I know. And we were like in cold sweats.
I was. I thought you always seemed to have a level head about you whenever, not just tolerance, but for mischief. You always had a more level head about like kind of breaking the rules. And I was always like, I don't know about all that, guys.
I'm like blushing. I love hearing that for some reason.
Yeah, it's true.
I was always hot to trot.
Yeah, yeah. More so than me.
Yeah. Although it was wild that people were smoking weed at that hookah bar. I had like, even though I've lived here 10 years, I was like, culture shock. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
What is this, Amsterdam?
Who gives a shit at this point, you know?
Yeah, smoke them if you got them. Smoke whatever you got.
Exactly. While you can.
Ugh. All right.
2024 is our year, baby.
I love you.
I love you, too. From the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Gosa.
Thank you and good night.
Buenas noches.